Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews, your Taco Bell eating pro tour watching Nerdtastic podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian. And together, we are Malcolm Reynolds and Jane Cobb.
So, hon, I'm glad you two are having a good time under there. Can we progress to the making it right?
That's not going to happen for a long while, Captain.
Well, we don't have a good long while. We could be headed straight into a nice big solid moon for all we know. So, how's about we get to work?
Hey, it was your big makeout session that got us into this, sir.
I was poisoned.
You were drugged.
That's why I never kiss him on the mouth.
No, no, no. We're hashtag the Nerdy Boys, your weekly nerdcast that brings you an overview of everything that happened nerdy during the week in television, movies, news, and comics. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it.
Yeah. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Hope everybody's been having a great week. How you been this week, Christian?
Oh, you know, fantastic.
Super good.
But you started streaming this week, right? MTGO?
Yeah, something like that. Some Magic the Gathering Online, as well as Destiny. You know, my other favorite gaming outlets, you know, such as Madden, NBA 2K, FIFA, all that good stuff. I play it all. I got a new computer, and I've just been kind of messing around with the OBS software. It stands for like Open Broadcasting Software. You know, been running into a little bit of trouble with that, but hopefully I can get that up soon. So if anybody's interested in watching me stream on Twitch, I'll make a gaming schedule so it's easier for everyone to follow. And you can only watch like your favorite games. You know, you don't have to watch me play the sports games. You don't have to watch me play Destiny or MTGO. You can just watch whatever you're mainly interested in. I'll come up with a streaming schedule sometime this week, and I'll post it on our Twitter at Nerdy Boys Reviews. But you can find my Twitch account at ibismo916. It's a lowercase I followed by uppercase B E A S T uppercase M O. DE916.
Yeah. So check that out. Maybe I'll be around if he streams on weekends, and then I'll yell over and interrupt him and stuff.
Yeah. That's a thing.
That'll be fun. But yeah, make sure you guys check that stuff out. I know Scott's excited about it.
And
if you guys are Magic fans, check out the MTGO stuff. And the Pro Tour was this weekend.
That it was.
So we have our Swedish man, Joel Larsson, won it all with Mono Red.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Is his name Joel? I thought it was Joel.
It's pronounced Joel.
Okay. But I didn't know he was Swedish. Whatever.
Yeah.
I seen Joel. I was like, oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. He's a fantastic Magic player. He's a Swedish national captain for the Magic World Cup, he took it down.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't really find a top eight list to let you guys know who is in the top eight. I know Michael Sperling and Patrick Cox from U.S.
Sigurdsson, I think that's his name. He's the U.S. captain, he is player of the year.
Yeah, they all made the Pro Tour top eight. Like I said, I don't know why Yuya Watanabe. Yeah, I don't know why these like big events are like so hard to find like the top eights and stuff for. But
I think it's easy to. I think you have to go to Wizard's site.
I looked on there.
Did you?
Yeah, couldn't find it.
Interesting.
But whatever. Nonetheless.
Yeah, there was Mono Red, Abzan Control, Abzan Megamorph, Blue Red, and Soul Artifact. Like I think those were the only decks in the top eight.
Yeah, it really does make sense. You know, I'm sure a lot of people brought decks from the old metagame there, expecting to do well because they're, you know, polished decks and all. But with so many new mechanics that, you know, you just really aren't ready to sideboard for, it's hard to, you know, predict what's going to happen at these Pro Tours. I think the most obvious thing that Mono Red was just going to kill it, and it's exactly what happened.
I think just preys on any deck that stumbles even for a second, you know?
Yeah.
So it gets there.
You know, in the top eight, I know Michael Sperling and Patrick Cox played each other. and Patrick Cox was playing Mono Red, and Michael Sperling was playing Abzan Control. And honestly, Sperling got super lucky. On turn three, he missed his land drop, which was predicated hand to like needing double black sources he didn't have, and he needed to hit his land drops to make it to Seed Rhinos. He had dual Seed Rhinos in his hand and a Freakus Cure and stuff that would help him gain advantage in that matchup. But he stumbled, missed a land drop, and then on turn four, got his third land drop, but it came into play tapped. I don't know how he won that game. Like, it was crazy. He went to one, like, six different times, and Patrick Cox just couldn't draw the correct cards. He drew, like, he started streaming some lands together and just couldn't pull it off and lost game three. It's pretty unfortunate, honestly.
Yeah,
I'd definitely rather have seen, like, the mono red decks win than Abzan Control.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of mono red just because I feel like it's kind of like a cheap kind of deck, you know?
Do you feel like it's not difficult to pilot?
It gets to points where it is. You know, like, it's not all just turning things sideways, especially now that they've given, you know, red mages kind of something like more difficult mechanics, like prowess is something, like, you have to remember, stuff like that. Abbot of Carol Keep is, like, a very, you know, situational card in a way where, you know, you don't always want to play it, you know, after you played a land, because you might hit a land, and if you don't hit the land, you know, it's kind of like bad sometimes. And
yeah, and you know, obviously don't ever want to just play it into all tapped out mana, of course, you know, because you might, even if it's just you have like say if like you're playing it on turn three and you play the Abbot of Carol Keep, which is 2 mana, 2/1 with prowess, and it exiles the top card of your life.
It's a 3/1.
Is it? No, I don't think so. No, it's a 2/1. No, it's a 2/1. That'd be kind of too good. It's a 2/1 with prowess, and it exiles the top card of your library, and you may play that card till the end of turn. So it's like, it's, I don't know, man. It's like, I've heard, you know, the legendary Marco Flores talk about it as if it was on the same power level as Snapcaster, and I understand, like, where he's coming from, of course.
Yeah, and he said it's far and away the most powerful thing to come out of Origins.
You know, it's funny because I honestly, like, until really seeing Abbot played on this scale and, like, the magnitude of, like, its reach, like, I honestly thought Hangerback Walker was that card.
I still think it is.
I don't know, man. It's really hard to judge because I think Abbot is really just on par with that card. But I think due to Hangerback's reach that it gives you to, like, survive through sweepers and all that good stuff. Like,
well, the way I look at it is, like, Abbot of Carol Keep is at, like, the most a 3-for-1.
Yeah.
And Hangerback Walker is at least a 2-for-1.
Yeah. So. Yeah, at the very least, it usually is. And it's such a tempo card because you can start playing it on turn 2, turn 4, 6, 8, and above. It's always not going to be on even numbers because it's double X.
Yeah.
But it's such a great card because you can use it, like, really defensively. And a lot of people, I've played with it already at one standard tournament, and people honestly have a hard time playing against that card. Like, yes. I've seen people make mistakes and, like, attack and then think, like, it was at, like, 3 counters and then, like, I'd block and then it'd be, like, lightning strike. I'd be like, well, I already declared my blockers, and I'm like, tap it, add the 4th counter, so it lives through the lightning strike, and then I just destroyed his creature as well. So it's like, I just got so much value. And then, so it's basically, I essentially, like, 4-for-1.
Yeah, the card's, you know, value. It's more than 4-for-1 because then he has to spend another spell getting rid of the Thopters or something.
Exactly.
You know?
It's
that card's just like super card advantage, like a low opportunity cost, and you get the most out of it. You know, Abbot, you still get something out of it. You definitely get another spell most of the time, and it has to be dealt with. But I think Hangerback Walker is strictly better. It can be slotted into control. It can be played in almost any deck. I don't think it belongs in every deck, but it can be slotted into most decks.
I can honestly only think of, like, one deck that it really doesn't belong in standard, and that's probably, like, Turbo Fog. That's really about it, like, for me. Like, I can think of, like a million different situations where it's good in, like, every deck.
Even in Turbo Fog, you know, Turbo Fog doesn't really have a turn 2 play.
Yeah, I mean, it could be played in there.
And it just will stall. I mean,
you know, see,
I think it has a place there, but I don't know if you'd want to dilute the deck that much.
I don't even know if it's necessarily diluting the deck or any deck. It's just a matter of, like, your play style. If you prefer a card like Hangar Backwalker, which, you know, I'm really high on that card, I think it's, like, the best card in Origins.
Yeah.
I just honestly think it could be... It has a spot in every single archetype. Just a matter around, like, you know, figuring out what numbers should be on other cards.
Yeah.
And finding that special sauce, you know?
Right. hopefully you guys were watching the Pro Tour this weekend, you know, if you're Magic fans. Gives you a little insight into what's going on. Like, if you're watching it Friday a little bit, you know, you could, you know, get a jump on the picking up certain cards that look like they're going to go up, like Abbott before this weekend and things like that. So, I think the Pro Tour is really great for, like, that kind of thing. Right now, there's so much inflation around Origins that it's probably not worth buying certain singles. But, like, ones that you know are going to go up, it's a lot of advantage.
Yeah, like most of the, like, the mono red spells, I would highly recommend getting those. Hangar Backwalkers, Thopter Spy Networks, of course, get those if you can find them for cheap.
Yeah, I don't know if Hangar Back's ever going to fall in price. Like, it might for a little bit, but I think it'll see modern play, too. So, that's a card, like, you should really look at.
So, what was it, Friday night? So, after day one, and we found out how popular mono red was, I went straight onto Amazon. There was a seller selling Abbot of Carol Keep for, like, there was, like, 30. There's, like, I think originally there had been, like, 40 for sale at $2 a piece. I instantly bought a playset. I should have honestly probably just bought them out because now there's, like, the price really fluctuates, which is super strange. It's, like, $7 to $11 somewhere in there. And, like, it's really strange because, like, on eBay and Amazon, it's selling for, like, $10 to $11.
Mm-hmm.
On Star City, it's selling for $7, and on TCG, it's selling for $8. So it's... Like, you're really going to have to wait to see where it goes. I don't think it's going to go below 7. It's only going to go up, really. Because it's really... It's probably, like, the card that really makes that deck really good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. A 2-1 with prowess is just good on its own.
Yeah, there were a lot of different versions of Mono Red, too. Like, Sam Black was playing Titan Strength.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, you know. And it's actually pretty good with Abbott, you know. Things with prowess are what makes that deck, you know, more complicated, I think. So, yeah.
Well, if you think about it this way, too, is because Titan Strength is so good, and the fact is you're going to run into so many mirrors with the Abbot of Carol Keep, and they're going to be tempted just to Wild Slash it.
Mm-hmm.
So Titan Strength puts it out of that reach.
Yeah.
Because it's +3/+1. You get to scry, of course, and then the prowess trigger on top of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a lot of advantage, so...
What other decks are you excited about that you might have gotten a chance to see in the Pro Tour or just even heard about?
I saw Soul Tide Control, like, at one of the top tables, and that's kind of exciting. I like that deck. I know Adrian Sullivan showed up with my style of blue-black control. He didn't do too great. I can't expect him to with all the Thopters and then Soul Artifacts and Mono Red running around. So,
Just don't know how well... position controllers at the moment with those very strong decks.
Yeah, you know, and it's like a lot of the removal is, you know, kind of, you know, here or there. It doesn't target everything. There's not a lot of broad-based removal. So if you show up with the wrong removal for the tournament, you're not going to do very well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of hit and miss at the big tournaments because you really just have to... You have to pay attention to what's happening at the other tournaments for sure. And then even then, like, what happened in the first two tournaments, it was completely different from this tournament.
Yeah.
So it that's why Mono Red took about storm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I seen it coming because you know, one of my local standard tournaments is like 17 or 18 people, something like that, and like 5 of the top 8 decks in that tournament were Mono Red, and you know, it was just the deck was like, even like, honestly, not to be like, you know, a jerk or anything, but you know, a lot of those players weren't even good players; they were just piloting a good deck, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, geez. Like, these, like, not good players can make it this far.
Interesting.
Sorry, we're just getting some Instagram notifications. But, you know, you just kind of see what is going to happen when, like a pro gets a hold of the deck. So, obviously, half the top 8 was Mono Red, probably.
I think 2 or 3 decks.
Yeah, something like that. So.
So, I mean, yeah, but if you guys are playing Magic this weekend, coming up, August 8th is game day. Full art languishes for top 8. Dope-ass mat, so check that stuff out. Stockton Con is also this weekend. We have to pick between Stockton Con and Magic. And honestly, I think I'm going to do Magic. Saves on gas a little bit. Plus, Sunday, Scott wouldn't be able to go anyway because he has work. Friday, I have work. I think it's a three-day event. So,
I think just like on time constraints alone, it just makes more sense for us to go play Magic. We'll let you guys know how we do. We pretty much expect to probably take it down because we just know a couple shops where like the competition is kind of lacking. So,
yeah. Hopefully some people show up. Like, I really want to play Standard. It sucks because we never get to test against other decks. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do, but Christian doesn't because he's not here on the weekend. The weekdays.
So, yeah. So, let us know what you guys are doing this weekend, if you want to play game day or if you're going to go to Stockton Con or whatever you're doing.
Yep.
Let's get into some news here.
Some news.
Last week, there were reports of Channing Tatum trying to leave Gambit. And, we didn't podcast last week, so we didn't talk about it. I know a lot of people were upset. Some people were like, who? Why do we care? Hasn't Fox learned that we don't want him as Gambit yet? Blah, blah, blah. Different reactions, of course. But now we have reports that Channing Tatum is officially going to play Gambit. Whatever that was, they worked it out, or it was just a rumor.
So, it's kind of interesting that this kind of came out like when it did. Because on Friday morning, if you guys didn't catch any of our tweets, I went on Citizens Metropolis podcast, which you guys can find on podcastgarden.com. We'll try to put up some links tonight on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook if you guys wanted to catch out those episodes. It was a great podcast, a lot of fun interaction, so check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But this was one of the pieces of news that came up. And if you guys have listened to our podcast before, I was really against Channing Tatum being Gambit. The reason being is he's like one of those actors that has like those same mannerisms in his acting. Like, they show up in all of his films, and that annoys the crap out of me. Like, I don't like that. Like, if you're going to be an actor, you should be good. Like, not saying like Channing Tatum is like terrible or not, but I think like his man pretty kind of deters like how good he really is as an actor at times. Like, a lot of people go watch because, you know, he'll take off his shirt and he's fucking ripped, you know?
Lucky.
But after San Diego Comic-Con, there was a photo op opportunity and Stan Lee was trying to get off the stage and Channing Tatum was the only person that went over and helped him get off the stage while everybody else goes piles up for a photo op opportunity. That was like one of the coolest things I've seen because honestly, you don't really see people like that too often in our society today.
Yeah, you know, and the great thing about it is like Gambit is a Southerner, obviously.
Yeah.
He has a little Cajun accent and everything. And Channing Tatum is actually like a real like Southern gentleman, you know?
Yeah.
Like, actually takes, you know, instead of going and huddling up with all these other actors and all this stuff, he actually breaks away from the pack and helps Stan Lee get off the stage.
You know, and it's one thing that, you know, he helped who he helped.
Yeah.
You know, that's
he's a legend.
That's one thing. First off and foremost, you know, Stan Lee should always kind of get that kind of help. I feel like it's like, you know, he's a legend first off. And, you know, he is really old. And I think people should help any old, like, any elderly people.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the fact that, you know, you just don't see that kind of shit today, you know?
Yeah, and I have no doubt that, I don't think it was just because of Stan Lee. I have no doubt that Channing Tatum would not help any other old person.
Yeah, you know? Honestly, yeah, that's the kind of point I was trying to make. Like what I was trying to say is, like, I don't think it was because it's just Stan Lee. I think it's just, that's probably who Channing Tatum is. You know, somebody that will kind of help another person out.
Right.
So after I seen that video on San Diego Comic-Con stuff, you know, it really, really helped me accept him as Gambit. And honestly, like, my whole opinion about him changed. And because of that one act of kindness, I feel like I can honestly get behind anything he does now.
Yeah, for me, it was a combination of things. Because I know he was, in previous interviews, he had talked about how, you know, he's been working on an accent and, you know, he's been showing that he's kind of dedicated to the role, which, you know, as a comic book fan, you want to see, you know? You want someone that's going to be enthusiastic about it, someone who's going to try their best to make fans happy, and that's what he was kind of showing, you know. And that kind of helped change my opinion a little bit, but, you know, the Stanley thing puts it over the top. It makes you think about him completely differently. You don't think, oh, he's just the guy who stripped in Magic Mike and he was in 21st Jump Street and he was funny. Like, you think, oh, this guy, he's doing something good.
Yeah. So in light of this news, is like, I was like, oh my God, I really hope Channing Tatum doesn't walk away from this movie. Kind of crazy how one event can really change your opinion about it, but I'm so glad that he's sticking with it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of it was ever even true now. It's like, it kind of makes me wonder.
It could have just been a rumor. Like, it's entirely possible. Rumors come up all the time that come out false, you know? So, it's another thing, so.
Yep.
We also have news. Sorry, to wrap that up, we're excited about Channing Tatum staying.
Yeah.
So in other news, Ian McShane is coming back to HBO. He's going to join the cast of Game of Thrones for season 6 now, right?
Okay, yeah.
They don't know who he's playing yet. Screen time will be limited. It's a key role of key importance. I don't know what that means because I haven't read the books, but, you know, spring 2016, let's go, Game of Thrones. Woo, woo.
Yeah, buddy.
So, yeah. And then in other Game of Thrones news, we got news that it may end after 8 seasons, according to the HBO executive. So, I mean, that's kind of sad news to me. That's 3 more seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know if George R. R. Martin's going to finish his book series. I know he's working on, like, the last book, I think it is. But you know how he likes to drag things on and never get things done.
I don't know. I don't think, like, I'm really bothered by that too much. Like, 8 seasons is a long time, especially how, like, these seasons play out. Sure, they're not very long seasons, but they kind of are at the same time because they're an hour episode. So it's like, think about it, it's like each season's like 10 hours worth of footage.
Yeah.
You know, and,
you know. And we do know from previous reports, too, that the HBO execs want more Game of Thrones because it brings them so much money to them.
Yeah, exactly. So people are signing up to HBO, you know, specifically just to watch this.
Yeah, so we know they want them. And even one of their execs said that he'd be open to anything the producer would want to do. So, I mean, obviously he'd want to see more and more and more. And there still might be movie opportunities, I'm sure.
So, I mean, you just never know. And of course, like a show like this could easily bring about some spinoffs, any kind of thing like that. You just really never know.
Yeah, definitely. We have official Jessica Jones logo. Let me look at it real quick. I've seen it, but I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I've not.
So this is a Jessica Jones logo. It's like her name. Just kind of like shattered, looking like shattered glass a little bit, or sliced through.
I don't know. That's weird. It kind of looks sliced.
Yeah. I don't know. The like we say all the time, like logos, images, trailers, even trailers more so, but images and logos and stuff don't really do too much for us. It doesn't tell me anything about the show. It doesn't tell me what it's going to be about. The show can have the worst looking images and logos ever, but once it's on there, production quality, screen quality, story, all this stuff comes out and it's better.
Exactly.
So, like, this stuff doesn't mean anything really to us. I mean, I think I speak for both of us when I say that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I completely agree. It's just her name on a fucking screen. It doesn't even matter to me. Like, yeah. I don't even give shit, honestly.
Right. But yeah. Jessica Jones is coming out next year, or this year, right? November?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's, like, close. That's so exciting.
It's really crazy to think. It's, like, we started podcasting 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, what was it, like, so 4 months ago, Daredevil came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're almost to the next Netflix series. I don't know, like, that's crazy to me. I don't know, like... I'm so excited.
Yeah. And we got Luke Cage is gonna be in it. It's exciting. Yeah. Hopefully, like, we'll see maybe Daredevil show up. Probably not yet.
No, probably not yet.
But we do know Rosario Dawson, we got some news that she's gonna be in it.
Yeah.
Playing the same character, Night Nurse, Claire Temple. So that's exciting, and I can't wait for that.
Honestly, it makes all the sense because they're all street level kind of heroes.
Yeah,
and it makes sense. It makes complete sense to me that she would come on this show. I fully expect the Night Nurse to make appearances in every one of them.
Yeah, and I think it can help. It might create more tension between Daredevil and other characters because I don't know. Maybe he's a jealous man.
I don't know. I think that she'll probably be like the bridging factor, like that kind of
be too. Yeah.
You know, that kind of brings them all together.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, pretty excited about Jessica Jones this year. We have final confirmation: Captain America: Civil War will feature Spider-Man. I mean,
do we really even expect anything less? Like,
I mean, it's so great though because, you know, when we first started podcasting, even you know when we talk about it, it'd be like, how are they going to do Civil War without Spider-Man? You know, and we had that discussion. We've had it a couple times. So it's great to finally get that confirmation. You know, we've come so far with the Sony deal and everything, and it's amazing to see, and the fans are going to get something that they've wanted for a long time. Fantastic Four comes out this week, and, I mean, how do we want that to do, you know? Like, if it's good, they're going to keep it at Fox, most likely, right?
Yeah. I expect it to be good, but I want it to be bad.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens with it. I really do want it to be good. I don't know if I can stand another bad Fantastic Four movie. But, yeah, we'll see. Excited about Spider-Man, though, for sure.
Yep.
So there's a rumor. I hope it's not true. Honestly, sorry to spoil my opinion before. But there's a rumor that Jenna Malone is going to play Barbara Gordon in Batman vs. Superman. I don't know. I don't think she looks right for it. I guess. I don't know.
I can see it, honestly.
I haven't seen much of the stuff she's in. Hopefully she's a good actress. Like, if it's true, you know, I'll wait to see it before I judge her.
Yeah.
But, you know, as of right now, I'm just like, because I really like Batgirl, you know?
Yeah. I kind of hold my judgments till later.
Yeah.
I'd have to see some stuff that she's in to really get a feel for, you know, how it would turn out.
Yeah, and I guess the real question is she going to be Batgirl or Oracle, you know?
Probably Oracle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they want her to see a bunch of action or what, but she could do very well. We'll just have to wait and see.
But here's the real question is, like, does switching the roles affect how well she could do? Do you think?
No, I don't think it'll matter that much. Like, they're the same person. I mean, different, you know, much different. Like, I guess they open the door if they keep her Batgirl first. Because, you know, we know that Batman's going to be in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, you have the Joker in Suicide Squad. And the Joker serves a big purpose in Batgirl's life and her becoming Oracle and such like that.
So you think she'll be Batgirl first and then maybe has the possibility of becoming Oracle later?
I like doing that better because I think if you do it the other way around, if you start her as Oracle, then I don't know if you necessarily shut the door on her becoming, you know, or going through any kind of storyline like that, but it kind of changes it, you know?
Okay.
Like her being Oracle is, there's so much behind that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it would have to start somewhere.
Okay, I could see that.
Unless they just explain it through flashbacks, you know, like if she was a younger girl or something, which would be really, you know, not something you want to see.
No, not at all.
So, I mean, I don't think you really want to see it anyway, but, you know, kind of, yeah. But yeah, hopefully she'll do good. If that's true, we'll keep you updated on that. Ryan Robbins has joined the upcoming fourth season of Arrow as a recurring villain named Conklin, who will appear alongside Baron Ryder in Oliver Queen's flashback sequences.
Dope.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this week. I was like, geez, like, these shows are coming back soon. You know? Like, yeah. Like, where's the summer gone? It's gone, guys.
It's gone.
But it's exciting. Gone. It's exciting. I'm happy for The Flash to come back and Arrow to come back. And these are going to be my life from October to March, April next year.
Yeah.
And then I graduate in June.
Oh. Jesus.
So, yeah, time is moving along, and, you know, things are getting real exciting out here. So.
up in her.
Yeah, yeah. Batman vs. Superman casting rumor. Another casting rumor. I forgot who this one was for. Scoot McNairy, whose role in the film has been a source of ongoing speculation. Jimmy Olsen, that's who they think he's going to be. All right. wasn't there Jimmy Olsen in Man of Steel?
Yeah.
Are you trying to figure out who Scoot McNairy is?
Yes.
Who is this man? Let's see.
Is that him?
Yeah. I think so.
Hmm.
Well.
Intriguing. Do you think he's too good looking?
I don't know. I don't think there. You necessarily have to look like a character to play a character. I think that's a common misconception. Oh yeah, that guy's way too good looking. No. Yeah. I mean, he could be good. It looks like he landed this role probably because he was in Argo with Ben Affleck. But yeah.
Probably if he shaves and looks like like this picture that we're looking at, I could.
This one.
Nah.
Look at that smushed ass face.
But if he has the beard, nah, it's too much, bro.
It's too much.
You can't do it.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see who he's going to be. We'll keep you updated on that as well. The Crow remake has been, you know, put on hold again. So it probably won't get made.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. Nobody's going to outdo the original Crow, so whatever.
It's whatevs.
Heroic Hollywood pegs Cottonmouth as one of the villains set to appear in Luke Cage. Can't confirm it yet, so we'll see. Fantastic Four, less than a week from the release. Cast is making the rounds. Can't get away from Silver Surfer. I like the sound of that. Who plays the Thing said, I know chronologically speaking that was the next villain in the previous franchise, but I think Silver Surfer is cool looking. Yeah, he really is. It would be a pretty interesting battle, the Fantastic Four versus Namor. Well, that won't happen.
We've already thought of that.
Currently mired in complex... Oh, that's a less likely outcome as the movie rights to Namor are currently mired in a complex contractual entanglement involving multiple studios. That's exciting. That's what everybody wants to hear. Hey guys, would you fall asleep if we start talking about contractual, multiple studio entanglements, complexity, mired? Big words.
Wait, go back up.
Go back up. Fear the Walking Dead?
Yeah, so because we didn't get to a podcast last week, it's a week old news. Fear the Walking Dead, the spinoff series for The Walking Dead, aired this last Friday, the 31st.
Yeah.
So if you guys haven't got a chance to check that out, it's probably going to be just as good as The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
probably.
It's six episodes for first season, and then after the first episode, they got a 15-episode order for season two.
Okay, sweet.
So... yeah, Naruto, I think Lionsgate's trying to make a Naruto film. with visual effects.
Are we talking about like an anime?
It says a Naruto movie is reportedly in production at Lionsgate.
Man, I think I already knew that.
Yeah, I heard people saying like, leave it alone, you know, you already ruined Dragon Ball Z, trying to make it a movie, things like that, you know, it's hard to... I haven't watched Naruto, but people are saying, like, it's hard to incorporate his entire story. Like, we, you know, they're saying, we've watched Naruto grow up from a kid to being what he is, and you can't really do that in a movie.
Yeah.
I'd
still watch it, but I can agree with everything that was just said there, because he has such a vast storyline with so much backstory that... If you attempt to make a movie, you're going to crunch too much together and completely miss over so much important details. Because my opinion of like anime series is like a lot of people don't like what's called the filler episodes that has like nothing to do with the main storyline. It's like an off-cast episode that
just
deals
like the problem of the week or whatever
episode. Yeah, pretty much. I actually like those episodes because it has a lot of character building. If you kind of look in the grand scheme of things. A lot of character traits come out in those, and you get a better understanding of some of the off-cast characters that aren't Naruto and stuff. And even with Naruto, he's had his own fair share of filler episodes that were just great. Yeah. I enjoy all the episodes.
The show that I saw employ the best use of filler episodes was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. In like their season 3, they had their third episode introduced Faith, like the new Slayer, like the second Slayer, and then like, you know, her getting along with them, and then there were like 5 episodes where she wasn't there, and like then you come back and it's like there's this stark contrast, and like they use those episodes as like during this time they've been ignoring her and excluding her from their groups and all this stuff, and she's resentful for it, and you don't really get that, you know, like you have to look at it to see it, but like that's kind of like something like I was like, that's a brilliant use of filler episodes.
Yeah, I can
purposeful
agree.
Purposeful exclusion is interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I made, like, the crazy little screech sound at the thought of it, but now that I think about it, it's just honestly a terrible idea.
Yeah, for a show, I don't know how many seasons that, but it's a long thing. Like, so many anime books on it and everything.
Yeah, it's like... well over like 300 episodes and
yeah
stuff.
So like, it's so like many. There's so much to get in there, so many characters. You know,
I think just like the first half when he's like a young kid is like 200 episodes, and then like the Naruto Shippuden, like when he grows up, like mm-hmm. like I don't know, like what was like 3 years or something like that, but he's like, it's like, you know, he hits like his like, you know, puberty stage and stuff, he's like guess to be around like 16, 17, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And
I think anime is something you like. I know they're doing Attack on Titan, but there really hasn't been too much Attack on Titan yet. But I think you have to kind of stay away from anime. Like, why haven't they touched Sailor Moon for a live action? Probably because it wouldn't do very well, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much there. Like, you can't really do that.
I think anime already is like a perfected art on its own. I don't think there's really a necessary reason per se to try and make it live action.
Yeah,
I mean, they failed so miserably at Dragon Ball Z, and I don't really perceive, like, I think the reason Attack on Titan is so much easier is because other than the Titans, there's like nothing mystical about it. Well, from what I've seen, because I've only watched like, I watched like 7 episodes of the first season. Mm-hmm. I just haven't got around to watching more. It's a fantastic show, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
But the thing is like, there's just the Titans, you know, they use these grappling hook systems to like fight the Titans and stuff.
Right,
and
right.
There's nothing mystical about it, but you know, in something like Naruto, they have like these basically magical jutsus or elemental jutsus that, you know,
I think like that kind of stuff would look pretty cool, you know, but like how do you do characters well? Like, you know, when you have a cartoon, you can make outfits look a certain way and you can make hair look a certain way like that, you know. I understand there have been terrific advancements in you know, makeup and hair departments and things like that, but like, how do you do justice to a character who just has hair like that? I mean, like, he's got a straight Pauly D blowout with spikes.
Yeah. Who else? Oh, they miserably failed at the Avatar.
Oh yeah, that movie wasn't very good.
That movie was a fucking joke.
So yeah, anime is something that should stay anime. Did we talk about Legend of Korra getting a graphic novel? I think we did, right?
Yeah. We originally like mentioned it, kind of deal.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting stuff.
Yeah. Like, I will be picking those up as soon as they come out, because I think they're going to be graphic novels, both of them. Because it's going to be Avatar: The Last Airbender and Korra. They're
yeah,
both
I think
getting their
Korra's getting a graphic novel, and Avatar is getting a comic book series, or the other way around.
Yeah,
one of the two.
I hope it's Last Airbender gets the graphic novel, so I could just buy it and read it all at once.
Yeah. So I kind of want to talk about this article that I saw a couple weeks ago, because we talked about Ant-Man last time we podcasted.
Okay.
And then after Ant-Man, there was an article that was just criticizing their use of Hope and how she wasn't a good Wasp, and she wasn't a good replacement for Wasp, and she served no point in the movie, and she was just a weak female character pushed aside, and all this stuff. And it really kind of annoyed me that, you know, we got that with Black Widow, and now we're getting in with it. And, you know, and in the movies, you know, the Avengers is not about Black Widow. It's about all of them, and she got her perfect amount of screen time, and we talked about that already. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But with this movie, it's called Ant-Man. It's about Ant-Man, you know, so it's primarily Hank Pym and Scott Lang, which is what the movie's about. And what really upsets me is that she was like a very good character. You know,
she served her purpose, and no, I think the misconception is people felt like she should have been a lead character, I mean, in her own way, she kind of was, but she wasn't meant like it was. It was supposed to be Scott Lang. He's the lead character. Everybody is like a supporting cast
and
for him.
I think she kind of was the lady who wrote the article was kind of questioning the plot, but she I don't think she understood it because everything that she said kind of was spelled out explicitly or said explicitly, and she was like, "Well, why does it doesn't make sense for him to even have Scott Lang do it when his daughter has already proved that she's more qualified and she knows how to communicate with the ants and she's a better fighter and all this stuff?" And it's like, okay, well, you're talking about how weak she is, but yeah, she's great at kung fu. Like, she kicked Scott Lang's ass. She's like very smart. She has a great job, you know. And it's not because of who her dad is. And she's just, you know, a very complex, two-dimensional character. She's not a one-dimensional character, you know. She has emotions. She moves the story forward and things like that. But, you know, even Scott tells her, like, the reason your dad doesn't want you doing it is because I'm expendable. I could die, you know, and he doesn't want you to die. He's already lost, you know, your mom. He's lost Janet Van Dyne. So that's really it, you know.
And I think, like, whoever wrote this article just, like, like you said, it doesn't get the movie, doesn't get the characters within the movie. She was like, it seems like she's just there to kind of move the plot along, but she's so much more. It's like a, it's a character to build on, but not just that. It's like, with the whole point of, she's not expendable to where Scott Lang is. And we really do learn that once we find out that, her mother was side by side with Hank Pym and, what happened to her getting trapped in like the negative, zero zone or whatever. So, it's like, That'd be Hank Pym's like worst fear is for that to happen to his daughter, and then you find out at the end if you stayed to watch the extra screens like
credit scene.
Oh god, dude, it's pissing me off. Like she would have understood that her character is so much more than just a plot tool. That she has a great meaning, and she's probably going to get her own film or
be part of the Avengers. Yeah, or something, you know. And what really annoys me is, you know, she's like, why Scott Lang? Why Scott Lang? Why Scott Lang? Scott Lang is a parallel for Hank Pym. Hank Pym sees everything from himself, his problems with his daughter and things like that, like their distance. It's Scott Lang. The same thing with him and his daughter. It's the same exact thing. And that's why Scott Lang. And also because he's expendable and Hope is not.
And he makes for a stronger character as well. Because Scott Lang as a character is stronger than Hope is due to the fact is, we talked about how in our podcast last time when we were talking about Ant-Man, how relatable as a character he is, and that makes him a stronger character because diversity is better.
Yeah. And
you know, being this, you know, if you're not a diverse character, it kind of makes you blank, kind of makes you plain. It's like, well, who, you take any character and in their own different way, they're diverse, and that's what makes each character different and each character great.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, the other thing too, like the article had mentioned, was that it was only her and Scott's ex-wife that were like females in this movie, and you know, even his ex-wife's boyfriend got more screen time than Hope or whatever. And I was like, why does this matter? Like, these people are part of the story. Like, you want them to like change something? Like even though we got you know, a team of a white guy, a Mexican guy, a black guy that are all criminals, like, but like they're still getting screen time, you know. That's not good enough. Now we have to have, you know, do you want a woman in there too? You know, an Asian woman. What do you want? You know, like Marvel can't pander to everybody. They've tried a lot, you know. And I know she criticized the way that I think his name's Carlos Pena, the guy, the Mexican guy, his friend. She criticized the way he was written too, because, oh, you know, like he's stereotypical. He's just comic relief. He doesn't serve a purpose. Blah 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 blah. Like, that's the way he's written. That's the way that's the kind of character he plays, and he served a big purpose in that film. So it's just,
let me just narrow this down real quickly for everyone. Is the internet is full of things called trolls. This person who wrote the article is indeed a troll, in the sense that people are gonna find anything to complain about, try to twist words around, and try to turn everything upside down. And like, that's honestly like what I feel trolls do. Like, that's her purpose in life, I guess. And you know, if that makes her happy, I mean, whatever, you know, like,
yeah. And they shared the story like four or five times, you know, and everybody in the comments was just ripping it apart. And you know, I even shared it on our Facebook just to see what people thought. But It's just, I don't get it. You know, why? Every time there's a new superhero movie, guys, pay attention. Because if there's a female and she's not a main character, or she gets sidelined, you're not gonna hear anything good about it. You know, even though Ant-Man was amazing and everybody loved it and it's making a lot of money, oh, it's a failure because Hope Van Dyne wasn't featured as the main character. You know, you didn't get that with Civil War, though. Boy, Black Widow in that, she played a big role in that movie, and nobody talked bad about that movie. Winter Soldier, sorry.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but then if in Avengers, she got a slightly less significant role. And she was captured, she's a damsel in distress. Like, all this bullshit.
Oh, she didn't just lead him, like, to his hideout or anything and get rescued.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like that was, like, the whole point of her getting captured. You really think that she would get captured?
Oh, do you think she... Oh, let me remember how she got captured. Oh, yeah, she was saving Captain America's life.
Yeah,
because that makes her a weak character,
you know. Because, you know, whatever.
Oh, she totally gave up all their information, too.
Yeah, so it's cool.
So... That's kind of like my little rant for the week. That just really annoyed me, that article.
I mean, I really don't blame you because it seems like no matter what Marvel does, when it comes to like the female characters, you know, the horde of feminists will come to the gates and bark their little chihuahua barks.
That's the other thing, too, is I don't know if you guys have heard it, but I'm sure it's been said, you know, oh, yeah, we have to give Black Widow a smaller role to make room for four other white guys. Sure, okay. Yeah, we get it. Marvel needs to diversify more, but... I mean, they're doing what they can, you know?
I really don't know what people want. Like, I think people really misunderstand what the point of the Avengers are. It's not about one person. It's about a team.
Yeah. Guys, we have a black Johnny Storm, and that's okay. All right?
Yeah, exactly. We have, in case you guys don't know, that guy named Falcon that is the white guy's sidekick with the shield. You know that guy?
Not even a sidekick. He's a hero of his own, too. Yeah.
Guess what? One day, he's going to replace that white man.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
He's getting out from under the thumb.
You know, like, oh, wait. We're going to have a whole Netflix series, you know, having a black star. Don't worry. We're going to have a whole Netflix series having a female character.
Oh, but she's white.
Oh, wait. But we also had Agent Carter.
Oh.
Female character.
But she's white.
So I guess it's not good enough.
Oh, wait. What's that? Sky? Oh, what? She's like half Chinese? Oh.
Oh, you know. Oh. So it's just not good enough. Her eyes weren't slanted enough.
Oh, but Joss Whedon writes that show. He hates women.
Yeah, so you know he's a feminist. I mean, he's not a feminist. He's a
pig.
Yeah, he's swine.
He never kisses them on the mouth either because he can't stand them women.
I mean, I really don't understand what people really want. It's like, you know, either put up or shut up. You know, it's like,
yeah,
shut the fuck up already. Like, I want to hear your shit. We're just trying to draw our fucking comic book movies, man.
Yeah, yeah. So...
No, I'm just kidding.
Guys, watch Ant-Man. Seriously, it's great. And, you know, if you guys have something to say, if you have a point, you know, we won't tear you apart, I promise. Just, you know, let us know what you thought about Hope's role. And, you know, I'm interested to see because maybe we're just, you know, blind to it because we don't understand or something, but...
See, okay, here's the thing, is, like, I respect even though if I agree and, you know, argue against your point, doesn't mean I don't respect your point. And it's, here's the thing, is, like, this is, like, one of those points I can't truly respect, in the sense is, like, this lady has no idea what she's talking about, she doesn't get any of the characters in the movie. It'd be understanding if some of her points were even valid. Like, yeah. But I feel like whatever she's saying is just hoopla, like, it doesn't matter what the fuck she's saying.
I feel like she went into that movie expecting... something like, all right, here's what I did. I said, I want to go see Ant-Man. So I went and saw Ant-Man. I didn't go and see Wasp. I didn't go and see Hope Van Dyne. I went and saw Ant-Man. So, I mean, maybe she was looking for a main female character in Ant-Man. But the title of the movie is Ant-Man. So, maybe she just thought it was Ant-Woman.
Yeah. Maybe she got a... an extended trailer that nobody else seen that was like gave the suggestion that she was supposed to be a lead character, that it was about Wasp and not Ant-Man, but the movie is named Ant-Man, so yeah. I guess I could see how that could be misleading.
Definitely. They totally led us for a loop, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, they pulled They pulled one on us. Yeah. They really got us.
They pulled the wool over our eyes.
Good job, Marvel.
Fantastic. But yeah, Ant-Man was a great movie, so I'm not going to let it change my opinion of the movie. But I do want to hear everybody else's opinions on it, of course, too.
They can reach us at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Nerdy Boys Reviews. On our website, nerdyboysreviews.com. Under the forum section, or just reply to anything that we've ever posted. Okay. So that's how you do that.
So here's a question I have.
Okay.
So in Star Wars...
Correct.
How come nobody ever talks about how all their characters are white? Except for the fact that people mentioned Lando's the only black guy. But is it because they have droids and aliens and people of different, like, planets? Like,
probably.
Does that make a difference, even though they're played by white people?
I guess. I don't know. People... The logic of others escaped my grasp.
Yeah. I bet you... I don't understand it.
I
bet you if Marvel came out with a movie about slave days, people would call him racist.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. So, guys, read comic books. I have my buy list. Sorry. Yeah. This just popped into my head.
Oh, hey, I finally bought some comic books again.
Did you?
While Christian's eagerly looking for his buy list, I'll just tell you what I bought. So, I bought Son of Batman number one, We Are Robin number one, and that's it.
Huh. Yeah, I heard We Are Robin is progressing quite nicely.
I think they're about to release number three.
Yeah.
But I got number one. I've read a couple panels, and it's pretty funny.
Oh, nice.
There was like a panel where there's this teenage kid, and he's obviously gets in a lot of fights and gets expelled from school all the time. And he's fighting, like, three guys and, like, at once. And he's, like, talking... Like, he's letting himself get his ass whooped. And he's, like, talking about adrenaline and how he's addicted to it. And then all of a sudden he starts fighting back and whooping the shit out of these three guys. And, like... And he's talking about, like, his addiction to, like adrenaline. And he's like, oh, there's worse things that you could be addicted to. Like, collectible card games. I was like, you son of a bitch.
Got you.
Ha! Got him!
Yeah. So, I picked up Daredevil 17, Shield number 8, Star Wars number 7, and Invisible Republic number 5, as well as a Battlestar Galactica Starbuck Pop vinyl.
Dude, talking about Daredevil, when we're on Citizens Metropolis, we're talking about, like, because they had, like, months of stuff to catch up on, and a lot of, you know, Marvel previews type stuff coming up. And we're talking about, like, what was going to be, like, the most popular title. And me and Shane came to the conclusion that we think that they're going to pour every bit of talent that they have, every you know, fiber of their being into Daredevil. And that's going to be, like, their number one seller.
Yeah, I mean, because of the TV show. I don't know if you guys are from Sacramento area. I'm sure you've heard of the Rob and Don show now.
Yeah.
But even Rob was talking about watching Daredevil.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, like, he's just watching one episode at a time right now.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I don't know. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
But yeah, and, like, the last episode he watched was the one where the guy shoved a spike through his own head.
Oh, yeah.
So, watch that show. But yeah, that's what's giving Marvel the hype. And that series is being headed by Charles Soule, who's amazing work. I forgot who the sidekick was, but it's a major character.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. But yeah, guys, check out our website because... this week I learned something new. I don't know if this was an available feature before, but I was able to put, like, a little slideshow kind of thing into the buy list thing. So you can actually, like, see, like, the main picture of, like, one of the things and then all the covers. You can rotate through them and all the stuff. And it's pretty cool. I just figured out how to do it this week, or found out I could do it this week. So that's cool.
Sweet. That's a nice little feature. Talking about features on our website, me and Christian kind of collabing a little bit on an article. I'm going to be finishing it up this week. Hopefully it's all done and edited and posted onto the website. So stay tuned for that, and, you know, check our website, you know, every couple of days or something, or at least, like, once a week, you know, just to look for cool little updates that you guys might find to come across articles, pictures, videos, whatever. Because I know that I did a Loot Crate opening this last month. I posted on Facebook because the file size was too large to post on Instagram or Twitter, and I couldn't. I forgot to email it to Christian. I'll email it to Christian and have him post it on the website so you guys can watch that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something I'm going to be doing every month is Loot Crate videos, you know. I got some really cool shit in there, so.
Yeah, I'll post that under, like, the article section. Yeah, so Scott's working on an article. It's just about cons. And it's kind of like you just, you know. It's from your point of view, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a first-hand experience, you know. So, you know, when it's posted, I'm sure, you know, you guys, there will be a comment section. Comment, leave, you know, talk about your experiences and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that'll be great as well.
And honestly, guys, I would love you if you guys just, like, give me your honest opinion about the article. Because I know I'm not the most eloquent writer. I'm not the greatest writer. And I've had Christian kind of spruce it up a little bit to make it a little bit more eye appealing. It's something I'm going to work on, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I do want your guys' honest opinions. I thought it was an interesting subject, especially pertaining to, you know, the field that we podcast about and the field that we love and the field that you guys love. So
yeah, I'm just doing like most of the grammar and stuff, or trying to make things flow better. I'm not changing any of the meaning or anything. It's all Scott's opinion. I'm not diluting it with my opinion or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm sure once it's posted, we'll probably discuss it on our podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely will be cool.
Yeah.
So,
I'm excited because it's like writing is always something I've wanted to do, because I always feel like I have like really great stuff to say at times. Mm-hmm. But it's like I've just never been.
Obviously,
like,
I mean, we're doing a podcast.
But I've never really had the writing skills to do it, really.
Hey, man, I've been in college for, you know, a long time.
And like, so have I. I just never paid attention.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I should go taking some college classes.
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot about writing just through taking honors and AP courses in high school. And then when you get into college, you know, they change the formatting on you, of course, because they hate you. Yeah. But, you know, it's really a great learning experience. Knowing how to write is important for any job you guys will have, so it's always good.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's going to wrap us up this week. We really just talked about news. Next week, maybe we'll have something more exciting. I know there's a scene in Star Wars I want to talk about, but I want to make sure Scott is up on it too, and he's, you know, okay with it and has stuff to say before I just rant about it for whatever. So,
and Christian also picked up the new Justice League Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, I watched that. Scott kind of watched a little bit.
I started watching it, and then I started messing with my new computer, trying to get my Twitch stream up, and then, you know, it took my full attention, so I didn't really get to watch it. I'm going to watch it either tonight or sometime this week, so we're definitely going to be podcasting about that. The Star Wars scene, so hey, Jeff Long, stay tuned for that one.
Yeah.
Sorry to keep interrupting.
It's all right,
Jeff Long, I know we don't always talk about stuff that you know too much about, but I'm really excited to actually be able to say that we're going to podcast about something that you will definitely know about. Maybe on Twitter we'll post like what scene we're talking about, and then you can tweet us or direct message us some stuff.
I'll just tell you right now. It's the scene in Revenge of the Sith where Anakin is talking to Yoda about his premonition dreams, and just like the things Yoda says really encompass like who the Jedi are and their order and like what kind of class they are in society and things like that. I find it really interesting in how it can apply to us even though we're separate, but also how it's strictly to their organization.
Yeah. So now that you got the little down low on that, Jeff Long, message us Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, our website, but you already know how to get a hold of us. You know, give us our opinion. Give us our opinion. Give us your opinion so we can read off on there, and then we can kind of have like a pseudo discussion with you included. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Or if you want to message us, like privately message us on any of the social media. You know, if you have a Skype account, maybe we can get you on Skype and you can.
Yeah, or join a phone call. Yeah. We can have you on speakerphone. You can discuss it with us.
Or we can figure a place to podcast with you there.
Yeah.
So we'd love for you to join us. Let us know what your thoughts on that are.
Yeah, for sure. So. Gods and Monsters, guys. Justice League is very good. please be advised, it's probably not suitable for children at all.
Yeah, I remember I watched the first 5 minutes and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, like, things happen and like you're like, is this really going to happen? No, they wouldn't do that, and then they do it. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. It's a completely different take on the heroes we know and love, but it's very good. So,
yeah.
I mean, killing it again. How bad can it be? It's Bruce Timm. yeah, the next one they're doing is
did he do Batman vs. Robin?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because if he did, it could be that bad.
Oh. Well, yeah. Scott didn't like Batman vs. Robin. I haven't finished it yet, but...
I did finish it, and I loved it at first, and then I started reading Batman New 52 stuff, and then I realized how shit it was.
It's one of those things where you have to go in with an open mind when you watch it a second time, just like anything, you know, because you're going in with expectations of seeing what you want to see, or you go in with expectations, you're like, what are they doing, you know? It's not that it's worse, it's just that it's different. But Scott probably thinks it's worse.
It's worse. It's worse because... That story could have been so much more epic. I promise you that. I really do promise you that.
All right, all right.
But, hey, we do have the DC animated film going to be the Killing Joke that's going to come out. I don't know when, but...
Hopefully soon.
Hopefully
And Mark soon. Hamill's coming back for
Fuck,
it.
Fuck, man. Oh, and then, what's his name? The guy that voiced Batman.
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, he's not confirmed, but he's interested in joining because Mark Hamill's back. Fuck, dude. If that happens... It's over. It's going to be like the best one they've ever made.
Yeah. Hands down.
Holy fuck shit.
It's going to be a no pants party, guys.
Dude, and we're going to be leading that party.
So, yeah.
We party with our C's out.
Oh, just did a little self-editing there.
Yeah, I did.
But yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Be sure to tell us what you think. Forum section, everything like that. So.
And always remember, come... follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, set our website as your homepage on your internet browser. Yeah. Because we're just the best.
We have RSS feed connected with our podcast. We have it connected with our buy list. We have it connected with our article section. You can get email notifications when someone's replied to your thread on the forum. It's all connected. It's like the internet does things.
Yeah, you know, because it's stuff and things and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so you can follow everything about us.
You know, go check our other previous podcast on Podbean, on iTunes. You know, like and leave a comment on that stuff. Rate us.
Subscribe to us.
Yeah, man. Do all kinds of stuff.
Tell us if you want us to talk about anything else, like actual literature. Like, I'm rereading Harry Potter right now, too. Yeah. Like, that's some good literature showing consequences that people don't just show up and change your life. You still have to go back and live with your shitty aunt and uncle and cousin sometimes. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, because we don't just do TV shows and movies and comics. We do... books and games and, you know, collectible card games and all kinds of stuff, man. We mad diverse out here.
Yeah, we incorporate it all.
It all.
Yeah.
You know, so. The cons and everything.
Yeah, all that stuff. For sure, for sure. But we're just living our lifestyle the way we want you guys to live your lifestyle. You know?
you do what we tell you to do.
No, we just, you know, do what makes you happy and do what makes you, and that's really it. Just stay nerdy. That's all we say all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah, something yeah, like that. Yeah,
whatever that means to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So that's gonna wrap us up, and obviously we have to say this together, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You ready? Stay nerdy, boys.